see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This is the exciting thing about him. He was a race car driver. He drove cars. He drove them very
honestly,
fast.
Honestly, like, if I were the lead on The Bachelor, that would be the whole thing. I'd be like, this is Claire. She likes books. Here's Claire. Remember how she
books.
Likes to read?
She read them.
We're just starting the first page of the story of our love. That would
that actually work
there's
well.
No,
I like
have
that.
No other traits except watching The Bachelor, and that would
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. This is the week of women not having fun with The Bachelor, but blaming themselves and crying instead of walking away feeling radiant and empowered over their reclaimed time.
In short, it's week three.
A huge fail of a week three.
But of course, the harder The Bachelor fails, the more we have to talk about it. So let's do this.
We're joined today by the lovely and witty Ashley Spivey. You may remember her from this podcast in the past, also Brad Womack's second season of The Bachelor, her amazing Twitter account, which blends politics with The Bachelor.
Our kind of gal.
Anything else you'd like to plug?
Maybe my book club.
Oh, yeah. You have a whole, it's like 5,000 members now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I follow your Instagram stories closely.
Thank you.
Wouldn't it be amazing if, like, a guy who was on The Bachelorette started a book club? I can't envision it. Like, James Taylor's book club.
What would you even read? Bill O'Reilly
tweets
books?
Tweets by Tommy Lahren.
The Bill O'Reilly book's, like, for kids.
Yes.
And I, like, say please, please. Okay. So, let's get started, because there's so much to talk about. First of all, they clearly woke all the girls up at like 6 a.m. so that they could talk about how tired they are. One of my least favorite parts of the show. And then Chris Harrison shows up with
disappointing news. Because he's just, you know, there to deliver the hard truths. Like, some of you don't get to leave this house this week.
Yeah. You poor kids. You're going to have to stay. He says, not everyone will get a date. There will be two group dates this week. And then he says, a beautiful aphorism, the golden rule is that time is precious. And also, you know what they say, behind every good man is a very strong woman. Which isn't true. That's not something people say.
No one says that, Chris Harrison.
They might say, behind every good man is a good woman.
He needs to read up on his platitudes.
Yeah, maybe he's trying to coin his own here. But it's too close to the original, so just a fail on every front. But today, they're going to put that to the test.
I think there's going to be a physical challenge date, Claire.
The group date card goes to Mikkel, Jacqueline, Lauren B., Tia, Marique, Becca M., Bibiana, and Crystal. And it says, it's all about the ring. And these girls aren't stupid. They're like, this is going to be a wrestling date.
And it is.
And it is. And
this
it is.
This is really an example of an underutilization of Kenny King. I'm a little bit upset about how little airtime he got.
I wish he would have trained them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that have been so much better than those women who went a little too far.
I was sad because I love the show Glow, and this is like a Glow-inspired date. And the original, the inspiration for Glow, the real Glow, is also like really, really fascinating.
Yes.
But they just, the women that showed up just went like a little too far with their intense ribbing of these girls.
First of all, I think we should note that this event was called Glob.
It's the worst
The gorgeous
name.
Ladies of the Bachelor. It's also amazing because it takes the one part of Glow that is relevant to the fact that they're wrestling on this date and replaces it with The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Like, it really should be, like,
Wrestling
Blow.
Ladies.
It should be Blow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bachelor Ladies, of,
ladies
wrestling.
Of Wrestling.
I wonder why they didn't go with that.
I don't know. It's kind of better than Glob.
It's a little more suggestive.
You know, I think they should lean into that. They're fine. They're women are
true.
Straddling Ari. Yeah. Like, yeah. Let's just
more
just
suggestive
lean in.
Than Marique and Lauren B's little wrestling.
That's true.
Little
I think it's important to remember that blowjobs are a sin, even within marriage.
Not until the fantasy suite.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Ari is already in costume. He's wearing exactly what he wears to every rose ceremony, plus an eye mask. So that's how you know he's the kissing bandit.
He borrowed it from Annalise.
Yep. Yeah. Same costume as Annalise. He was like, wow, that's really clever. I'm going to try that. And the Glow girls who show up are Ursula and Angelina. I took note of that in case anyone remembers which one is which.
Becca, Little Egypt.
Little That's Egypt, I think, is Angelina. Okay. I was like, oh, God, a good reminder that this will probably be really racist soon. I was at the point in my notes where I was writing down literally everything. So Becca is, like, super excited. Becca is exactly the type of person who is obsessed with Glow.
The original, not just the Netflix show.
Yeah.
Did she say that?
She implied it.
Okay.
She talked
she's
a lot about, like,
watching WWE.
Do you even watch wrestling, bro? Like, come on. Ari, meanwhile, does not know anything about wrestling, but he does like cars. I don't know if you guys have
I
heard
didn't
about
know that. No.
Yeah. In case you, like, were wondering if he's manly, he does like cars.
An extremely limited store of facts about Ari, and they just keep repeating them to remind us, like, this is the exciting thing about him. He was a race car driver. He drove cars. He drove them very
fast. Like, if I were the lead on The Bachelor, that would be the whole thing. I'd be like, this is Claire. She likes books. Here's Claire. Remember how she
books.
Likes to read?
She read them.
We're just starting the first page of the story of our love.
That would that actually work
there's
well.
No, I
have
no other traits except watching The Bachelor, and that wouldn't play well. Okay, so the girls start sort of getting into practicing the moves, but they are not selling them. They're like,
they're
not
smiling
looking pissed.
Too much,
they're
apparently.
Giggling. They're not taking this seriously. It's pretend fighting, and they're not taking it seriously, which is when the Glow ladies get a little... psychologically cruel.
Yes.
They're clearly trying to, like, provoke some genuine anger. Sort of like in Glow, the series, when the director makes a real, like, storyline out of the interpersonal conflict of the two leads.
Yeah.
It worked better on that show.
Well, because they already hated each other. He just convinced them to fight.
Right. But I think you could teach someone the moves first and then teach them how to... act like you're angry at everyone
right.
else. Like,
especially
that's the
since
two...
they're not really supposed to be hurting each other.
No,
so maybe
exactly.
separate those two things.
Yeah. Well, that's what I didn't get about when she was talking to Tia. It was like, just show her the moves first. Let her feel comfortable with that. And then you can, you know, teach her how to get angry.
And you're dealing with a lot of very overtired women.
Yes. And if someone pulled my hair, I would freak out. That is not
the
cool.
The ponytail pull and then also the weird racial microaggression against Bibiana's name. Like, there are better ways to, you know, get your point across.
Especially, like, Bibiana was, like, sort of getting into the spirit and, like, shit-talking back with them. And so they were like, okay, time to psychologically break her by making a racist comment that also insults her mom.
Yes.
It's like, no, that's not, clearly that's not going to help anything. I think that was Angelina. She was like, so what's your name? How do you spell it?
Yeah. Could your mom not spell? That doesn't even make sense. It should have been this. not cool. She did exactly what I would have done. Like, I would have gotten so angry, I would have started crying.
Me too.
Yeah. Because, like, what can you do?
Anytime I feel a strong emotion,
yes,
I end up crying.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, what can Bibiana do in that circumstance? Like, she's not actually supposed to punch this lady.
Right.
Tia and Bibiana, though, the people I thought were least likely to end up crying within 10 minutes of starting this event. They both seem so,
it
like,
made it kind of endearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt real, genuine empathy for them.
And they pulled it together.
They did.
They
everyone ended up having a good time with it once they got into their cougar sex kitten costumes.
Oh, my God. I think we should point out that the costumes were not that racist, but they were extremely sexist.
Yes.
They really leaned the other direction.
Except for the lunch lady. I
love
that.
I love that. Actually, Bridezilla, that is sexist, but the way they expressed it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
A dinosaur head.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, I was just so relieved that they didn't make Bibiana, like,
the spicy Latina.
Yeah. That I was like, cool, Bridezilla. Wait.
I know. Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's fine. I'll let it slide.
So I guess Becca, some of them were lame, though. Becca is a cat. Marique is, like, gold digger. Gold digger. Gold digger.
Oh, right. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought she was just gold. I was like, cool.
Miss some of this. Crystal's a cougar, which I was like, does she know what the term means?
Yeah, I don't think
so. She seemed a little too enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe she loves empowered older women who go after what they want sexually.
I hope that's what she was
thinking. Yeah, I hope that's why.
And this is when Kenny shows up. They're, like, all already in costume. Kenny just shows up to fight Ari, which was a bad idea for Ari. Like, it just doesn't – you don't want to be compared to Kenny.
No.
And then, of course, they made Kenny be the heel, right? Is that the right term?
Yeah.
Where he loses in the end. But it was not convincing.
I mean, heels can win.
Well,
the heel is like the villain.
Sure.
Do you even watch WWE?
No, but I do watch Glow, the Netflix series, and I loved it.
Yeah. So great. I mean, isn't a new season about to come out?
Couldn't
they have brought on some people from the actual show who would
give me some Betty Gilpin?
Yes.
I mean, I liked the idea behind having the original Glow
Girls.
Me
too, actually.
Like, they're the inspiration.
And the old photos are really amazing of them.
Maybe both.
Maybe they didn't need to be racist. That's just the only thing. Like, maybe, like, don't be racist.
It's
just as a blanket rule.
I mean, I think the woman who made that comment was the Little Egypt. So clearly she was like, this is just how it is here. We're all going to be a little racist to each other. This is not how we do things now. They start having the ladies' rounds. Can we talk about Marique and Lauren B's round?
They're very sensual.
It was very weird. The part where she, like, turned her over and then pulled the money out of her butt.
I just didn't get that.
Because she very gently turned over and, like, lifted her skirt up and then pulled her panties down.
I thought she was going to spank her. And she just pulled the money out, which would have made sense. I mean, I get she's a gold digger, but, like, if she had a shovel and, like, that's how she got the money out or something like that.
I love the idea of her, like, shoveling money out of a woman's butt.
Yeah. It was just weird.
Yeah, like, it was a little too apparent that it had been planned, which, like, of course they all are.
Right.
But it's like, why did this random other woman just show up with money in her panties?
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry I keep saying that word.
It was
panties.
Me too.
God.
I think it's because they kind of were doing it in slow motion, and that made it seem a little more sensual. But in reality, it was just they felt so uncomfortable. They were just going slowly, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they intended it to appear the way that it ended up.
No.
But it was pretty funny.
It was funny.
It just made me think of, like, a sitcom, like, daydream of girls having a pillow fight. Yes. Like, they're sort of hitting each other, but mostly they're, like, caressing each other's shoulders and giggling and, like, staring into each other's eyes. Tia and Bibiana fight each other, and they do pretty well.
Good.
I was impressed with them. And then they go out
to a bar that is also an Airstream trailer park. Can anyone tell me what was happening
there?
I
could not tell. I think I wrote down, like, at a weird lounge. So I clearly didn't pay close enough attention.
I think they're just making the correlation that if you like wrestling, that maybe you would go to a place like that because you might be a redneck.
Okay. Yeah, it's like the theme for this is trashy white people.
Yeah, it's
like,
weird. I don't even know where that bar would exist in L.A. I think they just created it for... date or something.
I mean, what kind of, like, does anyone ever really go to a venue that's like, yeah, it's this cool place. They're just like a bunch of Airstream trailers with like lavish sofas in them. That's not a real thing.
Maybe in Austin.
Maybe. Anything could happen in Austin.
Yeah.
From what I hear. And Ari, like, whenever he's with groups of women, I just feel like he's like teaching, like, some sort of like community college class or something. He's like, you girls, I was really proud of all of you. You were really like in your element.
But first and... he says, I was really out of my element. You were really in your element. He always, he can't help himself. He has one phrase every time he starts speaking. He just repeats it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see him pause and like the gears are turning. He's like, I got to say this a different way. And then he's like, nope, fuck it. I'm just going to say it the same way.
Just kind of repeat what you said before.
Like, today, you were amazing, and tonight
will be amazing.
You are awesome. Like, it's like sometimes he switches like one word, but
I get it. It's hard to carry this show and narrate,
especially
the whole
if you have no personality.
Yeah, it's Ari is not the best at it.
But conversely, I'm enjoying it so much.
Yeah.
Claire and I were discussing this last night, and we kind of have come to the conclusion that the worse the lead is, the better the show might be.
For sure.
Like, Juan Pablo's season was maybe my favorite season.
Yes.
And he is just obviously the worst.
Yes. Yeah.
There's something thrilling about when the contestants, bachelorettes, whatever, have more personality than the bachelor.
Yes. Jake Pavelka. That
season.
That's a great example of that.
That's true.
Plus, he got the great post interview with him in Vienna.
Yes.
Where he was just the worst person
ever. I didn't even really watch the show at that point, and I watched that interview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Wow. Everyone go back and Google that. It's really stunning television.
I think, you know, I've watched seasons before where all the women were much younger and the lead was in his 30s. But maybe because I'm a little older now, that dynamic is really weird to me. Like, probably when I was 22 and watching that, I was like, sure. And now I'm almost 30. And whenever Ari talks to a group of, like, 25-year-old women, I'm like, oh, you are so much older than them. And it is very apparent. Because he doesn't even feel like he's on their level. He talks down to them. Like, he's like... there to, like, pat them on the head and give them kudos.
He does do a lot of that.
Yeah.
He's a very touchy-feely person.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he literally wants to pat them on the head.
It feels more paternal in a weird way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
I also, I think I'm more sensitive to that dynamic now that I'm 30. And I'm like, there's only three women on this season that are my age or older than me, and they all left this episode.
Yeah.
And the guy is 36.
I think, too, well, if you go back to 2011, Emily and Brad had the same age difference as Becca and Ari. But it seemed different because Emily was already a mom. You know, she already been through a lot of stuff, so people didn't necessarily recognize that there was that big of an age difference.
And he seemed very immature.
Yeah.
Just going to throw that out there. So they all sit down, and Crystal, like, pops right up to take some time with Ari first, which sets Bibiana off. But I want to point out that Bibiana did a great job this episode not getting baited into freaking out, and I was very impressed. But at this point...
Justice for Bibiana. Yeah.
Justice for BB.
Ari sits down with Crystal and is basically just like, I wanted to take your clothes off today, and it was weird all these women were there.
What
like,
was, it was this very conversation? Aggressive.
It was very weird.
Also... I'm sure that Crystal is being baited into being more obnoxious by the producers, but I can't with her.
Yeah.
And the fact that Ari seems so into it, I'm like, what is your judgment?
Like, she's like the oldest woman he seems interested in, and she is performing youth all the time. And that's like troubling to me, that it's like, oh, sure, maybe I'll date someone who's only 7 years younger than me.
She's also a bit delusional about their relationship.
I think, too, in that situation, I think a lot of leads sometimes cling to people who seem the most into them. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of what you're going through, a lot of times you're like, I don't even know if this person's into me. I'm not feeling that confident. And then when someone comes along and makes you feel really good about yourself, you cling to them. I mean,
that's a fair point. Yeah. I'll buy that.
Especially with men.
Yeah, they are little babies. Yeah. You need to be affirmed all the time.
Right.
Sorry, that was a vast overgeneralization, Ari seems to need that. And, you know, we all need affirmation. But Crystal's weird whispering to him about how she doesn't even know how to act.
Why were they whispering?
Because there are all these women here. And what should I do? Should I be aggressive? Should I be with you? Like, there's just all these other women. I'm like, we're on week 3, which probably means, 10 days into this entire thing?
Right.
Right. I mean, it seems like a reaction to the other women obviously criticizing her for always grabbing him. But it seems like she's now coming to him to be like, look, we all know this is about you and me. So, like, just tell me how to play this to get through. And, like, then it won't be a problem after
that's a little bit – that's sort of jumping the gun is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like, she's not the only one that he seems into, even within the group date setting.
Yeah.
But she has convinced herself. Like, she even tells Marique.
Yeah.
Tells Marique, this is just a process that we all need to go through so that I can be with him in the end. Right. Like, imagine sitting someone else down in that situation and being like, you're just here as a prop for my experience.
Yeah. There are, like, multiple points this episode where it becomes clear that Ari only feels, like, good about himself as a man if he can be, like, protecting or protecting a woman. Like, and I think, like, Becca later is like, maybe that's why you like moms, which I felt a little weird about. But, like,
and then Crystal looks like his mom.
She does.
Yes.
Yeah, no, she looks a lot like.
But she is also performing these behaviors that make her seem vulnerable all the time. She's performing a lot of, like, oh, I'm not sure. And, like, oh, I can't talk, like, speak in a normal voice. And, like, I don't know. And I think that brings out that side of him that's like, oh, I'm a big, strong man. Oh. I'm going to, like, tell her that everything's fine and, like, squeeze her shoulder. And that kind of squicks me out, too. Like, he doesn't seem to want, like, an equal partner in the relationship. And I can't get on board with that.
Well, it's just so weird to contrast her with the other Becca, like, on their date.
Becca?
Yeah.
Or Becca.
Becca K.
Becca K. Mm-hmm.
Becca K.
Okay, not Becca.
Not baby Becca.
Okay.
Which I don't agree with that at all, but, like, that's just the easiest way to say that. Like, her age actually
Becca
does not
K
bother
or
me.
Or Becca with a K.
Yeah. Becca. Yeah. Because she seems so comfortable with herself, and she was just kind of being herself on the date, whereas Crystal always goes to him for affirmation. Like, almost everything she says to him is a question.
Which probably plays well now because for the reasons you said, but I think we'll do her a disservice down the road.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think Becca K probably in the end plays this in a bit more sustainable way. Like, she's like, sure, take me out and, like, give me gifts and, like, spoil me, but I'm not going to end up, like, clinging around your neck and, like, dragging you down to the pits of the ocean.
Right.
So, but for now, he's really responding to that from Crystal because he finds it to be, like, such a huge turn on when a woman needs him.
Except for Becca.
Becca.
Well, right. But that's, like, the confusing thing for him. Yeah. He normally doesn't go for that. And she's so risky because she, like, doesn't need him. She's not like other women.
I would, like, say that's not true, though. Like, she reminds me a lot of Courtney Robertson. I think they have that independent kind of, like,
personality. They kind of look alike, too.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know what happened with Courtney Robertson is they just, like, hooked up and it, like...
But now they're best friends, apparently.
Right, but they're not, like, together.
Right.
No.
Like, I think that's a vibe that he likes, but it's not what makes him feel good in a relationship.
Yes, I don't think Becca is going to win this thing.
No.
She does.
Do we want her to win?
No.
But only because we want her to go on to
I want her to figure out better in this world. Yes. Yeah. Like, there's not a life left for her.
That whole conversation arose because she sat him down and was like, and he was like, so do you really think you're ready to get married? And she was like, I think that I make you nervous because I'm risky because, like, you don't know, like, that I need you. And that, and it's like, so do you want to get married,
right,
though?
Yeah.
And she's like, doesn't,
not
obviously.
To you. Not yeah. right now.
Yeah.
In 10 years to someone else. So Bibiana finally gets a little time with Ari and just does the worst possible thing with it. Which is
kiss of death to talk yeah. shit about another woman during your time. It never plays well.
Never.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. She says,
how do
she
they convince
tells Ari
women to
that
do
she
this?
Doesn't, she's, group dates are hard for her because she wants to be respectful of others and give time to people. And it's hard when people like Crystal don't do that. After Ari just got done, like undressing Crystal with his eyes and being like, come to me whenever you want. So, like, obviously this was not well received.
Oh. If you are going to go on the show, or you're thinking about going on the show, Google when Emily O'Brien told Ben F. about Courtney. And he was basically like, know your place. Like, do not say that.
I forgot
he was
about
not
that.
Into it at
yeah.
all.
And he was really intense.
Oh,
about,
yeah.
Because everyone hated Courtney, and he was like, yeah. she's the one I'm going to pick. So, yeah. like, all season, they were in conflict yeah. with him over that.
Oh, I know what he said. He said, tread lightly.
Oh,
yes.
yeah.
And I mean, oh, you could yeah. just see her realize
was that,
that was.
Who was that with?
Ben F.
I know, but who's the oh, girl? Was it Emily?
Emily yeah. O'Brien.
Oh, I love
the
her.
Rapping, like, doctor.
Yeah,
who
I loved her.
I loved. But then you could just see she realized it was the kiss of death. Like, she was going home.
And see, that was my first season of The Bachelor. So mm-hmm. that's been, I'm like, that is the golden rule. Since yeah. watching that, it's
yes.
just been drilled in my head.
But
like,
it's like, pretty
never
much
do it.
Is always the golden rule.
It yeah. is the golden rule. I'm saying if you've watched the show, it's kind of the one thing you should go into the mansion knowing.
Yeah.
Do not get baited into talking about another woman
right.
yeah.
during a cocktail party.
Yeah. And you know that the producers were like, maybe you should tell Ari this is how you feel and
for
like
sure.
speak to him directly.
Oh, I'm sure.
You can't fall for that.
No.
This is why you need to do
stay
a little
strong.
Research.
Yes. Stay strong, girls.
Because it's true. It's so early. Why are you going to waste all your time when you could be talking about yourself, talking
yeah.
about someone else?
I think it's partly it's like the Annalise problem that they all
yeah.
get in their head. They haven't been speaking to him. They see other women do it. They start to pressure themselves about the conversation. And then they get there and they're like, I have nothing to say to him.
Yeah.
And
right.
then they're
I mean,
like, you know what's pissing me off lately? This girl you want to
yeah.
have sex with. Like, no.
Yeah.
I've just been having the realization last night that I want to give off a Becca vibe, but I'm definitely an Annalise.
I mean, honestly, I think that's
no.
I like Annalise better than Becca. As much as I like Becca, she is starting to get on my nerves a little bit because she seems so impressed with herself. And I'm like, there's like confidence and then there's like, I'm not like these other women. I'm cool. I'm chill. Like, I like WWE. And it's like, calm down. Like, if you're cool, we'll all see it. You don't have to be so like broadcasting how different you are all the time.
There is some of that. I think I give her a lot of leeway because I've seen her Twitter presence and she just makes some great jokes about like all
That's
lives
true.
Matter. And I'm like, it's fine. You seem cool. You seem to have a lot of friends. Like, you're probably fine. She also, on her Instagram story last night, publicly apologized to Tia and Bibiana for making fun of them about WWE.
Oh, that's nice.
And was
mm-hmm.
like, I should not have been talking. I was crying that whole week.
Yeah.
So I had no place saying anything.
Yeah.
She seems to be well-liked, so.
Yeah.
There's definitely a manic pixie dream girl vibe going on. I'm more of a in my own head anxious Annalise.
I kind of like that about her. I mean, that's definitely her, I think her defense mechanism, which I wish I could have been like that in the house because mine was to be like, I suck. Like, I'm nothing compared to these girls and, like, crying all the time, which is what happens to most
yeah.
people in the house.
That would be me, for
yes.
sure.
That would be me the first night. I'd walk in and, like, see how big their eyes were and, like, how, like, shiny their hair was, and I would just, like, dissolve in a puddle on the floor.
I mean, it happens to most people, and she's doing something different, which I can kind of appreciate, and that's what people should do in the house. You should celebrate yourself and not, I mean, there's a reason why you got picked. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Instead of carry yourself with the confidence of a mediocre white man, carry yourself with the confidence
yeah.
of a Becca.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm going to try to channel that.
You can become Bachelorette. Just believe in yourself.
Do you think they'd ever let a woman with a pixie cut be the Bachelorette?
I don't know.
I think they'd make her get extensions.
Maybe.
And meanwhile, Ari is talking to Tia, and like everyone, he was surprised that she cried at the Glob event, and he can't stop saying how surprised he is in a way that starts to feel really insulting.
Right.
He's like, I thought you'd be cool, but you were lame. Like, that was bad.
That was weird.
And then this is when she says, normally I'm not an emotional person, but I felt weak and I didn't like that. And Ari says, well, but if you do feel that way, like, I can help you feel better. That makes me feel like the man.
No.
I wrote, gross, Ari, which is how I was feeling. But then they make out. Like, it's nice to, like, want to take care of people that you care about, but it just, like, that's not the same thing as feeling like I need to have a woman, like, depending on me in order to feel good about myself as a man.
Yeah.
Back at the house, the next one-on-one date has arrived, and you will all be shocked to hear that Chelsea thinks she should be on the one-on-one
date. Oh, and Becca
because
got
she's
the
a mom.
Rose.
She's a mom.
This is like a cutback okay. where it's still not up to that. There's more cocktail party. But the date goes to Lauren S., and it says, you had me at Merlot. So we know what that's going to be.
That was a lazy date card.
Yeah.
They've been pretty lazy with these date cards.
Especially because now everyone knows what the puns mean.
Right.
Like, there was a time when you could write, what was the first one? Like,
it's all about the ring.
It's all about the ring. There was a time when you could write that and women would be like, I don't know, a jewelry store? Like, I don't know.
Neil Lane?
He's going to propose to us? I don't know. Now, like, during this cocktail party, Ari talks to Becca about what her longest relationship was, and she says 2.5 years. And everyone was like, oh, like when you were in middle school. Man, that was so long ago. They have a great exchange about how sometimes breaking up with people can really, like, change your life. And then they make out a lot.
They have really good chemistry.
Yeah,
they do.
They really do. Like, it's so revealing that, like, he'll say the dumbest things and she just looks thrilled. Like, she's like, I want to eat your face off. Yeah. Totally. Yes.
I mean, I think it might be lust, but they are into each other.
It's definitely, I feel like after a year, she would want to murder him.
Yeah.
But it's working for now.
Yeah.
It's good TV. I'm here for it.
It is good TV.
And meanwhile, Crystal is saying the other girls are living in a false reality because after having a one-on-one, she definitely has the strongest relationship in the house. And they're, like, feeling good about their one-on-one time at this group date. Come on. Like, delusional.
Yeah.
That is definitely who I would call delusional.
Listen, she knows from delusional. And then, yes, Ari gives the rose to Becca.
Because Crystal is stunned.
Very. I mean, it looked like she was going to cry. She was not okay with that.
I mean, he basically took her aside and was like, I wanted to have sex with you in front of everyone. Like, of course she thought she was getting the rose. He's being so gross with her, and it's bothering me. Because he's clearly, like, he's not treating her like a serious contender. But, like, because he doesn't ask her any questions about herself or, like, treat her like a whole person. When you get that kind of, like, bomb of flattery and attention from a guy, it feels like he must really be interested.
Right.
For sure. Well, I think he is interested in her.
He's interested because she's making him out to be really great.
Right.
You know, but she's not even, like, saying anything about herself. She's just, like, loading him up with compliments the whole time or...
Yeah.
You know.
And when she talked about herself on the one-on-one date, he was like, this is uncomfortable. Let's move out of this conversation.
Right.
Yeah, he's much more comfortable in the you just shower me with praise phase of their relationship rather than the, oh, you're going to open up about your traumatic childhood.
Yeah.
Which isn't your fault.
But he doesn't.
Whatever he
He's
said.
Like, but maybe it is your fault. I don't
know. Yeah. Or it doesn't reflect poorly. Like, whatever it was.
Back at the house, Crystal really gets into it with Marique. She's like, I always get hated on by girls. Like, in eighth grade, my best friend's boyfriend dumped my best friend so that he could date Crystal. Remember, last episode, Crystal said she was an art nerd, but it's becoming clear that was not the case. But then Crystal, like, wouldn't date him because that was her best friend.
She's so honorable.
But then her best friend said she'd never bring her boyfriend around Crystal again. And it's just, like, girls are just so insecure and so jealous. And it's, like, Oh, it's so unfair to
Crystal.
She spent
so much time this episode telling people about how they need to stop being insecure and value their time and just lecturing all of these women on how to conduct themselves in this situation and also, like, in their lives.
It's the coach in her.
That would drive me fucking crazy.
Yes. Here's what we're going to do. We're all going to drop, do one quick push-up, and then
affirm
Ari to his face.
If you're going to run an exercise class for me, that is useful.
Yeah.
If you're going to tell me how to spend my time when I have 3 minutes with The Bachelor, it's less useful.
Maybe they should close their eyes and put their hands over their heart and think about how grateful they are. And then in no time, that time will be over.
Marique didn't say anything, though, did she? No. Or they didn't show it, which I was, like, expecting a Marique truth bomb, like what she gave to Chelsea.
Or whenever was Marique just so stunned that she just stared at her the whole time. It was like, I'm going to let this girl hang herself by her own words.
If I were Marique in that situation, I'd be like, first of all, why are you telling me this?
Right.
I'm just not, like, I'm not in this conversation. Like, I'm here and I'm nodding, but, like, I'm not going to engage.
And now, then we go to Napa.
Yeah. They take a plane.
They look nice. It's a pretty solid date.
Yeah. Whole winery is wonderful.
Yeah. I was like, I want to go to Napa and go to a winery.
Well, you know who else wants to go to Napa? Lauren S. Because this is a very Lauren S. date. You all know how Lauren S. just, like, loves taking planes and she, like, she loves drinking
loves wine.
That's such a Lauren S. thing.
Who doesn't?
I know. She's like, this is such a thing that people do.
Lauren S.
Yeah.
I like wine.
Right.
You know this date got awkward and bleak because both of them were eating and drinking.
Yes.
That's a bad sign.
I mean, to be fair, it is a winery. You got to drink.
But they're always sitting at food and beverage places and not ingesting anything.
Well, that just shows that none of the conversation was important to show that they actually had to show them drinking and eating, which they never want to show.
Right.
I mean, we did hear a little bit about her mom's really weird eye infection. Ear infection?
Bless
eye
her
infection.
Heart.
I know. It was really... I mean, so they have, like, their afternoon portion, and they just start drinking wine and talking about how, as they get older, they start, like, going to bed earlier and wearing cardigans. And he says the cardigan thing, and she laughs so hard.
So does
and
he.
Then it's like, wearing cardigans. And I'm like, girl, that was not a funny joke. Like, it was okay, but, like... You're trying too hard to make him feel funny.
I do relate to the going to bed earlier thing.
For sure.
I mean, it's true. It's
like the second time this has come up this season, though. Someone else said this where they were like, you go to bed early, you're like eating Raisin Bran. And it's just like, y'all
Jenny.
Are not that old.
Well, Jenny was like, what's it like to be old, basically?
Yeah, that's what she basically was saying. Is that what happens
at
to
least,
be old?
At least burn? This was two people in their 30s, like, sort of ribbing each other about being in their 30s.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're not like fucking Jerry.
Right.
Come on. I mean, rock that cardigan.
Yeah.
Like, but
once a man hits 32, he just starts wearing cardigans.
I
think
this
what
was
it
the
is.
Kiss of death, though. Ari does not want to be reminded that he is old or might be aging alongside a woman. He wants the youth sort of next to him to
glow. It's such
glow
a crazy difference between men and women that men are like taught that like. Proximity to youth makes them younger, and women are like, don't put me near a young person. It makes me feel old.
Yeah. I could tell, though, that he wasn't into her because he was not touching her.
Mm-mm.
He was.
Oh.
That's the thing with him. I think if you pay attention to his body language, he tells you a lot, and he was not touching her at all. And even with Bibiana, he was kind of being a little standoffish and when they were talking to each other. So I was like, you can tell who he's into, you can tell he's not. Like,
Extremely touchy when he's into you.
Yes.
Like, later, Annalise mentions, like, that she wants the kiss and other women have gotten it, but maybe they made the first move. And I was like, Annalise, you guys are, like, 10 feet apart when you're talking. The other women, like, maybe they leaned in, but he was already kind of wrapped around them.
Right.
So you're in a different situation.
Yeah.
But it's hard because she, you know, you don't know what he's like with the other women necessarily, but... He was not making any moves to, like, caress Lauren's neck or, like, adjust
caress
her shoulder
her
strap.
Yeah.
Touching
her hair.
Yeah.
None of that.
So then they get to the evening portion and...
They're drinking wine in inside now.
Yes.
So.
And she... this is when she goes a little off the rails. And I felt so bad for her, but I just wanted to be like, it doesn't look like you're having fun.
No.
She was not having fun during that. So let it go. Like, he's you're not going to be happy if every time you hang out with this guy, you're like, oh, God, what do I say? My mom had an eye infection and my family is so great. And I love passion and relationship. But sometimes my career is just like, well, here's the thing. I was living in San Francisco. Like, that is not a fun conversation for either of you.
Also, the way they chopped up that day.
Oh, yeah. She was having verbal diarrhea.
Yeah.
Full on.
Which she knew. That was the sad part about it.
I know. I feel like they had been drinking, but they weren't enjoying each other's company enough to get drunk. And they probably had a wine headache, which was making it worse.
Yeah.
And then she was just saying anything she could think of that was, like, coming into her brain. And it was all awful. And he was just annoyed. And that's a horrible date.
Oh, it's so
you could see it on both of their faces. And she knew it. She knew she was going home. I would have been just like, listen, we obviously have no chemistry. Let's just get drunk and you can just let me go. I won't care.
Like, she was still, she was fine. Like, he's so nice and sweet and I'm missing out on all this, like, all his good qualities. And I was like, that means there are other men out there that, like, all those good qualities mean nothing if he doesn't make you happy being around him. And he clearly does not.
Yeah.
And we've all been on dates like that where, like, it's just no one's doing anything wrong, but it's so painful.
Just bad. Yeah. And if four glasses of wine don't, you know, open you up and make the conversation flow, like, it is never.
It's not going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt bad for her because, like, it seemed like he wasn't really talking at all. And that's the worst kind of bad date is when you have to do all the talking and the other person just sits there and stares at you. And you're like, meet me halfway, please. Like, say something, anything. Ask me a question. Like, tell me about your dog. I don't care.
I also thought the way they structured the dates this week was weird because I don't remember, maybe they have done this before, but doing two group dates and one-on-one?
They usually do it like week one.
Week one.
Yeah.
Which they didn't do.
Right. So I was like, I already kind of knew whoever was on that date was going home because, you know, it's they're not going to eliminate someone on the group date and they're not going to eliminate that many people at the rose ceremony.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It is early, though, for someone to be cut on a one-on-one.
It is.
It was kind of, I like it. I like when they just make clear decisions early on.
Yeah.
Let's just get to this.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at the house, little snippet, group date card arrives. It goes to Ashley, Becca K, Brittany, Jenna, Caroline, Chelsea, and Annalise. Love is rough. Because it's like a dog rough. And Annalise was hoping for a second chance to prove that she's not scared of everything. Unfortunately, she's also scared of dogs for a very legitimate reason, and she's just not catching a break.
She was just way too honest on her questionnaire.
Yes.
Like, do not tell them every trauma you've ever had.
Yeah.
Say you're, like, scared of cupcakes. Yeah. Or, like, something dumb, like confetti.
And then you can be like, oh, no.
Yeah, I'm terrified of
glitter.
I'm
scared of cupcakes, but I think I can really pull it together and get over this. Okay, meanwhile, back at the ranch, Lauren is losing her mind because she really, 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 really wants this date to work out, which is maybe why it's going so badly. He picks up the rose, and his speech was amazing.
Oh my God.
I wrote it down. He said, "Today was an opportunity for me to get to know you. I love that you love your family, and I really wanted this for us, but I'm sorry. I can't give you this because I don't even know. I know your family is important to you. I don't want to waste your time, like, away from them. But you're amazing." So what he likes about Lauren is literally only that she loves her family. And that is it.
I mean, how much did she talk about her family? Because, like, that's the only thing he can pull from their day at the winery, that
he was
sucks.
Probably tuned out for 90% of her talking.
I think he's only, like, then this is a big Bachelor theme always, too, is, like, the lead had a great family and loves his family. And he wants someone who's also family-oriented. And then, like, on every date, it's either, like, she doesn't have a great family relationship, and it's like, is that going to drive a wedge between them? Or she does. They have so much in common. They could get married. That'd be so great. It's like, are you paying attention to any other qualities about each other other than, like, whether you like your family? No, they're not. So, goodbye to Lauren.
She says she's disappointed, but she doesn't appear to be.
She took it well.
Very disappointed. Yeah, it was a classy exit. But back at the house, Lauren's bag is, of course, taken away, along with a very dramatic classical music cue.
Oh, yeah. That cracked me up.
And Ari, too, was like, this is the first really hard goodbye. It's like,
it wasn't hard at all.
Yeah, we're not dumb. Yeah. Like, you can't manipulate us into thinking that this was a really tragic
event.
The most
emotional part of this was poor Caroline, who's clearly close with Lauren S.,
broken
just bursting into tears.
And meanwhile, Crystal volunteers. Oh, she's the speech maker of the season, and it's always someone everyone hates. And Crystal's here to just say, you know, I love Lauren S., like, a lot, like, so much. But she confided in me that she has, like, a hard time opening up and being vulnerable. And I told her, like, you just need to do that. You need to open up because time is so precious. And I advise everyone to do that because I've had a group date and a one-on-one date. And I just know that you need to just open up. And poor Lauren S., she just lights up a room. She's so wonderful. But, like, and meanwhile,
Caroline
is, like,
gets up and leaves.
Weeping in another room.
Which is really mature of her.
Yeah.
To just get I actually loved that. And she, who is she talking to?
Tia, I think.
And she's just like, I can't with Crystal. And she's being condescending, yes, which she was.
You would think that Crystal would notice that that happened
she's
and stop
a mission
talking,
to
but
give
she
life
kept
affirming
on.
Advice.
Yes.
It is amazing because she is now aware that other women are pissed by things like how aggressive she is. And she could keep taking time with him, but try to dial back her engagement with other women in the house.
Right.
But instead, she is like actively seeming to go out of her way to say things that will piss them off.
Yeah. Which this is the thing I kind of have a problem with. Not that I have a problem. I don't really care. But I think that she's just listening to producers too much. You don't have to be a jerk to everyone to get the guy. You can still be nice to everyone and get the guy. It's not going to affect anything.
Most of the time, it's actually not helpful to be
a
jerk
exactly.
to everyone.
No, exactly. So I don't know.
Also, you're probably not going to end up with the guy. So you might as well make some friends. I don't get it.
You have like an 80% chance of making friends. There's so many girls in the house.
Meanwhile, I also want to point out that Bibiana and Tia have like a little. Why is there no good word like bromance for what they have going on?
I know, but I'm into
it. A beautiful new friendship. It's so cute.
So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to be back with a lot more chatting. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes. There's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or former Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quince.com/LTSI.
Next is the final date of the week. It is a group date. And
dogs.
There are dogs.
This clearly was a fail of a date because they zoomed through it incredibly quickly and it seemed very, like, no part of it was entertaining, which was weird because it's cute dogs.
It's that dogs. Should be a it's puppies, slam dunk. Like doing tricks.
Yeah.
But there they are little dogs doing little tricks.
None of the dogs would actually do the tricks.
Yeah.
They were apparently training to put on a show for toddlers.
Like a dog circus.
Like a dog circus, but we saw very little of it. It just seemed like production was like, eh, this was not the best.
They did get some clips of the dogs doing the tricks in rehearsal at the park, and then none of them apparently would do it.
The actual show was a fail. Also, I saw per social media that apparently Dean and Alex were there, and they didn't get any screen time.
Why were they there?
I don't
know. Hoping for some screen time.
No, or to eventually hook up with the girls after the show.
Well, yeah, both. Probably that.
Why choose?
Yeah. That's
they're
weird.
Scouting their future.
But Alex
dating pool.
Is genuinely funny.
Oh,
so
he's
I
so
would
funny.
I would like to see him on television again.
Yeah.
Real missed opportunity.
But the main thing that happens during this date is that they get lots of footage of Annalise sort of tearfully trying to crush down her terror of dogs and dramatically reenacting her childhood trauma with stock footage of a child playing with a puppy. And I just want to note here that what actually happened to Annalise is that she was attacked by a large dog and mauled in the face.
And almost lost her eye.
Like, it's... I want to say that I'm surprised, but I'm not. But I am, like, really pissed that The Bachelor turned that into a joke. Like, I get that, like, the bumper car thing seemed weird, but, like... It's extremely normal and, in fact, common for people to have fear of dogs because of this kind of thing. Dogs actually attack people all the time, and they're very dangerous.
And she also almost lost her eye.
Yeah.
I also watched her Instagram story last night, and she was literally showing all the scars she has still around her eye. And she went on to say, like, she's actually in the process of adopting a dog. She loves dogs. But dogs who, like, make sudden movements, like, she... And it's a very a very legitimate fear.
Right.
Yeah, other people's dog... Like, I grew up with dogs. They were great. Once I went running with one of our dogs and almost got attacked by someone else's dog that was just running around off the leash. And it was really scary. Like, the dogs got into a standoff. I was like, I don't know what to do. Like... Dogs can be unpredictable if they're not trained and they're not socialized. They can be very dangerous. And also, she also got attacked again by another dog while her parents were going through a divorce. Like, we're getting so many hints that she just had, like, the shittiest childhood.
Very
and
traumatic.
It's being played for laughs at every turn.
And, you know, I do support the dramatic reenactment tactic. Like, I like when they have fun with the editing. It's funny, but maybe not about
the dog attack.
Yeah, like maybe you could use that for something where the stakes are a little lower. Like, I like the Bachelor in Paradise sort of feel of it.
I hope they keep the reenactments, actually.
Yeah.
Like, no, this could be a funny...
It's funny. Just, but, like, maybe don't make light of someone's genuine trauma.
Or, like, you can't reenact, like someone's dad dying or something. Like, don't go there.
No,
like,
no,
keep
no.
it, like,
no.
very...
At this point, I wouldn't put it past
No,
them.
I know.
I wouldn't either.
Or, like, when my brother had an overdose, like, cut to blurry
exactly.
vision.
Yeah.
No. Don't do that.
No producers. I think what's really going to happen is now they're going to, like, associate that tactic with Annalise, and they're going to try to get her to come on Paradise, and they're going to find other ways to do flashbacks of Annalise.
Yeah.
Because they sort of did that with Claire on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes.
She was the talking to animals person. So at this point, the girls get all dressed up in shiny dresses and heels and makeup to perform with animals, as you do. Fred Willard is there reprising his role on Best in Show
I
as
like
a dog
that
show
part.
Commentator.
Yeah.
Me too. I love that show or that movie.
His doggy style comic, right?
Yeah. That was good.
He also makes one of the best car jokes of the season. So far, the show is like an old car. It's having trouble getting started.
But I'm bummed.
And everyone fails at getting their dogs to do the tricks. Annalise is scooping poop, and I imagine that is because she told the producers she was afraid to work with the dogs.
Yep.
But she
realizes this is not like a showcase position. So yeah.
She made a funny joke about it.
Yeah. But she's like extra getting in her head now. She's like, I don't want to break down in front of Ari, so I'm not going to work with the dogs. But right. now I'm the pooper scooper, and that doesn't put me in a good light. How am I going to salvage this? And it's yeah. like,
you're not.
You're not. No. It's just,
that's
you're
actually
not.
The answer.
Yeah. yeah.
You're two in your head now.
And clearly, Ari wants someone who needs him just enough and in the right ways. And he doesn't want to deal with what Annalise is going through. Right. So, evening portion. They're at a bar. I mean, they always are at a bar, but I just feel the need to point that out. What do you guys think about Jenna's lipstick choices?
It didn't seem very her.
No.
It was kind of, who was the girl that wore the intensely bold lip that did not work to the Women Tell All last season?
Oh, yeah. What was that?
I'm like, you yes, know who I'm talking about.
The terrible lipstick color. Now I want to, like, Google it.
Why can't I think of it?
It was the same. It was, like, the same lipstick color that Jenna was wearing. And it was the same intense blonde hair, that coloring.
Oh, yeah. The blonde girl.
Yeah. I'm forgetting her name.
Lauren.
No. this girl. Does anyone remember what this girl's name is?
Is it something with a J also, actually?
Jacqueline?
Maybe it was
It might
Jacqueline.
Have been Jacqueline.
Let us know if you know what we're talking about. I'm so annoyed. I literally just Googled Women Tell All bad lipstick, so I don't know why it didn't pull up what I was thinking of right away. But anyway, Jenna, this is the second time we've seen Jenna wear, like, a really bold lip color. And both times I've been kind of like, no. And I don't know why. Because I normally really like a bold lip color.
Yeah. But, well, I actually joked on Twitter last night that I forgot she was even there until I saw her wearing that lipstick. And
well, yeah.
she tweeted back at me and then I felt bad.
Oh, sorry.
I know. But she looks really familiar to me, and she's from North Carolina, too. And I'm pretty sure I've met her before.
Really?
Yeah, but she didn't respond to me when I asked her if we'd met before. And then I seemed creepy.
She was like, no, we're not going to be friends.
No, exactly.
Clearly, she's not going to be happy with us either. But, I mean, I think partly it's because she has such dramatic
features. Yes.
That when you add the lipstick, it's like a lot.
Well, and I thought, too, when she was really going for that kiss with Ari, I was just like, oh, no, that's going to be hard to wipe off.
It must
like,
have been really intense.
Maybe it was a lip stain.
Lip stain, yeah.
Or maybe it was Josephine, her name's Josephine.
Josephine. Yes.
I knew it was
It was something J.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
We got it, guys.
I had to figure that out.
I would have been thinking about that all day.
I bet, like, seven people have already emailed us
at
this point in the podcast. Okay, so first Ari hangs out with Chelsea. Who takes the opportunity to point out that it was really hard to see all the little kids at the dog show because she misses her son, but she knows she's here for something better, to discover herself through someone else.
I thought that was so weird.
And then she says she's never had someone respect her for who she is.
That's sad.
Which is really sad. And Ari's like, aw, yeah? And, like, fondles her shoulder. And I was
He's so bad at responding to genuine shows of vulnerability.
Yeah. I mean, you can just see in his head. He's like, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't know these women. Like, sure. Like,
he's like, you're amazing.
He's like, can we just, like, goof around until we're basically engaged and then we can get serious?
I thought, so he talks to her twice on this date, right? So this was the first time that he talked to her, and she, I think, wanted to talk about that, and she wasn't exactly showing him a lot of affection, and so he was more standoffish with her, and he was being, you know, they were sitting very far apart in a way, which I thought was weird, because usually they're all over each other.
He was, like, adjusting her shoulder strap on her dress a lot.
Yeah, and then I was kind of like, oh, well, maybe he's not into her anymore, because he wasn't all over her. But then she came back and she was like, I felt like we didn't get to kiss or whatever. And then they made out again. And then he was like so into her again.
Yeah.
So that kind of shows like what he likes whenever you're talking to him.
Yeah. Well, he wants to feel like you need him. But and then he wants to feel like he wants to have sex with you.
Exactly.
Like, and that's like the golden combination for him.
Yes.
Next, he talks to Carolyn, who's like, why haven't you been in love since Emily? And he says after Emily, he dated women that he knew weren't ready for marriage as a defense, and not because he likes sleeping with 22-year-olds, just like because he was afraid.
That must be so nice for all of his exes.
I know. Every time he says that he hasn't been in love since Emily, I'm just like, you've dated like at least 5 people and you were never in love with them? Like, that sucks.
Yeah. And, like, his last ex before the show has said that he never said he loved her, but they dated for, like, a year.
Yeah.
It's long.
Yeah. Throughout this whole date, Annalise is, like, building up a head of, like, steam that she really is afraid that things are not working out and she is getting left behind and she just needs to kiss him. Like, lots of shots of her, like, reapplying her makeup and, like, plotting about going to kiss him. Meanwhile, Jenna is just like, I feel like you know what you want. Yeah, I like that. And then it's like, sucks his face off. That is how you need to do it, Annalise. I'm sorry. but Annalise finally gets some time with him. And
it's so brutal.
Because she hasn't thought of anything to say to him.
No.
And he's not given her anything. Like, no. He's clearly not that eager to have a conversation. So she's like, so how are you doing? And he said, it's hard. Some relationships are moving faster than others. Like,
and then they talk about the venue. Get it was so bad.
Yeah, he's like, but this place is cool, right? I'm going to look away from you anywhere else, literally anywhere else, because I wish you weren't here right now.
I wish she just would have been like, all right, you know what? I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
This isn't, no.
But at this point, Chelsea interrupts to steal her kiss. And Annalise basically does go get her jacket to leave. She's like, I don't want to force it, but like, he's kissed like everyone else. I feel like I should just go. And then she ends up getting sort of talked down by the other girls a little bit, I think. And meanwhile, he's like, basically, like, lying down with Becca K in, like, a little burrow or something, doing some lying down making out. And, yeah. And then he gives the rose to Chelsea. So
which that was weird, too.
Yeah. I feel like he always just, like, feels like he should give the rose to Chelsea.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably
she
just...
She feels it's like a, he it's should producer, always give
it's
the
It's a
rose.
Producer move, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't even care who he was giving the rose to.
At this point, why would you really care? Like, right. he knows who he's going to keep around. Why does he care who he's giving the rose to?
Exactly. But on the group one thing right. about when he was laying down with Becca is he initiates a lot of conversation with her, which I think is different than with other girls.
He's genuinely interested in her. He wants to talk to her.
Yeah. He kind of makes fun of her. Of like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And also a big
you're
way
a
that
dork.
He, a big
yeah. no, you're a dork. Like neither of you were dorks ever. Okay.
Yeah, she started that one.
Yeah.
But like a big way that he initiates conversation with women is by complimenting them. So often when you see him really engaged with women, what he'll say is like, "You look so cute today. Like I loved your little pants.
Yeah.
Like I just wanted to like rip your costume off. Like it's so hard." And it's like, okay. That's nice, but, like, that's not really a conversation starter.
No.
But it's, like, at least it's better, I guess, than this place is cool and I'm not going to look at you.
I'm glad you like your family. Yeah.
It's great that you like your family, but honestly, I need a little bit more. And finally, we get to the cocktail party. So last chance for Annalise and Bibiana to, like, make their moves. They've both been kind of freaking out about falling behind. And
it goes really well for both of them.
I mean, personally, I think it does go really well for both of them. Yeah. I'm very happy for both of them with how this turned out. Ari introduces the night by saying, "This week we had a couple awesome group dates and a hard date with Lauren, but I hope everyone understands I have to be decisive." He's like, his whole thing is like, I just don't want them to be mad at me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry I broke your heart. Can you give me a hug? Like, please, so I just feel like we're cool.
Well, he's trying to toe that line of being decisive, which I actually like in a lead.
Yeah.
But then he feels too much guilt about it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Nick was just, like, a hard, like, just went cold after he dumped someone.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
Look, this isn't working out. I need you to leave. It's been real. Yeah. Goodbye.
And I feel like we see a little bit of Ari, like, avoiding the problem of the fact that he has women around that he's not interested in, because eventually he has this conversation with Annalise and he's basically like, oh, I hadn't thought about whether we had any potential. Like, he doesn't want to think about the women he's going to have to send home. So he just is like, instead of maybe proactively letting them go in a way that we have seen some leads in the past do, he's like, I'll deal with it when I have to deal with it, like at the rose ceremony, which is, I'm sure the producers love that. But first of all, Bibiana has decided to plan something special and private for Ari.
Oh, poor Bibiana.
This is like a Greek tragedy.
It really is. Ugh.
So she says something that's very me is being in a cabana and staring at the stars. Whereas Lauren S.
is more of a winery girl.
More of a winery thing. So Bibiana, certainly with the help of producers, but it definitely seems like it was her idea, sets up a nice couch cabana for Ari with like a telescope next to it. And then the producers fucking let him sit on that couch with Lauren
everyone
B.
Else.
And then everyone else, like,
except Bibiana.
Yeah.
So Bibiana goes out to find him and Lauren B to like get some time. And she sees him with Lauren B on the couch. And then is like, can I talk to you for a second? And he's like, 5 more minutes.
Ugh.
He's so not into her.
Yeah. No.
That was just heartbreaking, though. Like, she planned that date, and she goes in to be like, excuse me. And he's like, please leave us alone. We're having a moment here in this romantic setting that just came from nowhere. And it's, like, crazy how perfect it is for me and Lauren B.
I mean, at that point, you have nothing left to lose because you know you're probably going home. And I just want to be like, I made this whole thing. Y'all are enjoying what I planned for me and you, but now we can't even have good things. No, I'm leaving. Like, and that's where she should have just...
I mean, I was honestly... impressed because I felt like it was bait from the producers.
They wanted her to go nuts.
For sure.
And someone pointed out last week, and I missed this, that when Bibiana was doing her demolition derby stuff, that they were playing like Latin music, and like they've been taking these opportunities to be like, she's like the hot tempered like Latina.
Yeah.
And they laid this huge trap for her of like, we're going to make her feel like something good is coming and then we're going to take it away. And she just walked away. She didn't give them the material to play like Latin music underneath her as she has a meltdown. And I was like, I'm impressed by that. Although it would have been fun to like for her to call them out.
For sure.
I'm just so relieved that we're getting Bibiana on Winter Games.
Yes.
Like she deserves to be on our televisions more.
Yes.
And so I'm glad we don't have to wait long.
Yeah.
And I think she ended up playing it perfectly. Like she did a couple, like she had one like epic call out of someone, but not enough that she came to seem like the troublemaker.
People love her.
People love her. She played it really well.
Her Instagram last night was great too.
So funny.
I don't know how you guys have time to look at everyone's Instagram and tweet and take
notes. Someone tagged us
in it.
Claire, someone tagged us in it.
I need to check Instagram.
It's an old, really dorky picture of Ari.
And it just says,
miss you already with a rose emoji.
She played this all very well.
Yeah. And I think she seemed very frustrated with the fact that she kept being, like, diverted from having time with him. But she seemed, like, pretty aware that he might not be... the right person for her.
For sure. When you care about time that other people have, when you're, like, being very respectful of that, you don't really like the guy. Do you know what I mean? No, see, because if you're like, I'm going to give everyone a chance, you don't like him. Because if you did, it would bother you a little.
Laying back a little bit.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this is when Ari tells Becca that he's guarding his heart with her. A little bit, and she's like, you know why? Because I'm unsafe. I'm risky for you. I think you know I don't need you. I think you go for women who need you more than you need them. And Ari's like, mind is blown. He has clearly never been to therapy.
He's clearly never been called out by a woman.
Never.
But this was like a legitimate like therapy session.
Oh, yeah. He was like, this is a breakthrough for me. I do that.
He was like, great. I can't wait to pick this up next week. I really feel like we can finally make some real progress with my like avoidance issues with women. And she says she thinks that's why he likes moms. Ugh. And I was like, maybe it's also why he likes 22-year-olds, Becca. Jesus. But he's very impressed, and he likes that she's calling him out. And I think he likes it, like, just enough to, like, make out with her a lot, but it's not really what he's going to want, unfortunately. Yeah. The best men love to be called out all the time. Lots of close-up of their tongues while they make out, too.
A lot.
Meanwhile, Annalise has just been pushed over the edge, and she is determined to make out with this guy.
Yeah. She spends the whole night, like, winding up to, like, make her real move on him. But meanwhile, he's set something up for Tia and is like, you always do special things for me. Which, does she? Has anyone noticed that
ever? I guess
ever?
They've just left all that out.
Yeah. Every Maybe week she has a special treat for Ari. Well, I remember that Sean always used to say that Catherine would always, like, slip him notes.
Right. We never really saw that.
So
bales of hay and moonshine, because she's from the South. Did you hear?
He knows her so well.
I couldn't tell.
He's like, but tell me, do you love your family, though? Meanwhile, Annalise is like, now's my time. Let's leave. Let's get as far away from the other woman as possible. She needs a little space so that she can make her move.
Therefore, they have her go on a balcony where every single woman can see her.
There are all these shots of her, like, walking him through room after room and then being like, maybe a little further, maybe a little further. And they end up on a balcony where everyone can see them. And she says that she really wants him to kiss her. She doesn't usually make the first move. And he says, so are you asking me?
And then she says, I'm putting it out there. And he says, I don't think we're there yet.
Oof.
And
brutal.
If she doesn't want to make out with you, it's done. Yeah. Which she knows.
Yeah.
But I think she's so startled in that moment. She handles it well. But, like, that is a brutal rejection.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I was impressed by how she handled that moment. Like, she's very like, okay, that's fine. Like, but then she was sort of like, I just, like, wanted some clarity, but, like, it's okay. But she just needed a little time, I think, to process the we're not there yet comment.
Yeah.
Because there was an initial reaction that's like, okay, maybe we'll get there. And then, like, 5 minutes later, she's like, oh, no. He just, like, would be interested by
now. I love that she went back and was like, I'm just going to ask him. Because she was able to get that answer and exit on her own terms. Instead of, standing up for 4 more hours during a rose ceremony and then being sent home like that. No. She got her own exit. She got to probably go home, sleep in a hotel for the night instead of being up till 4 a.m. Like, I respected the hell out of this move.
Yeah. Good for her.
And I think it was, like, as you're always, like, in dating taught to be like, oh, well, what if, like, I don't say something, but, like, I'm thinking the wrong thing and, like, I missed out on this great thing because I assumed. And it's like, fine, just, like, ask. Just get it out there. And then once she put it out there, he literally, like, Ari is just the worst. He was like, oh, I really hadn't thought about whether we might have potential for
it.
But now that you bring it up, no. Like, definitely not.
Shouldn't you be thinking about that all the time? That's your whole job as bachelor. That's all you have to think about.
Yeah, I guarantee he spends all his time, like, looking up, like, fitness videos that Crystal did and, like, enjoying himself in ways that I'm not going to verbalize. Okay. But, like, Annalise's whole attitude here is a little weird. She's like, well, you know, I've had lots of relationships where I wasn't attracted at the beginning, or, like, he wasn't, or, like, we worked together and I wasn't interested at all.
Well,
but then they were the best relationship. And
I think
like,
she's doing the thing where you rationalize. She's sort of speed going through the steps you go through when you're dating someone and you don't know them well enough to be sure it's not going to work out, but you see the red flags. You're kind of like, well, this could go this way or this could go that way. Mm-hmm. And eventually she's like, I'm just going to put it out there. And it sucks to be rejected, which is why I think we saw her kind of self-flagellating during her exit a little bit. Mm. But it was the best thing. Like, it sucks more to waste your time.
For sure.
Yeah. I always feel like it's this narrative that especially women are given, which is like, give him a chance. Even if you're not interested, maybe he'll be better for you than that dick you actually like. No one tells men that.
Right.
Everyone's like, go for the girl you want. Like, get the hottest girl you can. And women are really taught to, like, invest in relationships that we didn't initially want at all. And I'm like, maybe what she should be doing is getting out there and dating guys she's actually interested in. Because that part just made me really sad. Meanwhile, Jenna is straddling him.
I think she was very drunk.
Oh, God.
Probably.
So then we get to the actual rose ceremony.
In which I realized that we have not seen Sien the entire episode.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, we barely saw that. I think he did like pull her first at the cocktail party, but we didn't really see that conversation.
Yeah, she basically got no
She wasn't time. On a date this week.
Right.
She's Bibby still hadn't talked to him at that point. Crystal didn't have a rose, so she felt worrisome. And I was like, Crystal, you are very worrisome to a lot of us. And so he starts handing out the roses, and they go to, are you guys ready for this?
Yes. I'm ready.
Carolyn, Kendall, Ashley, Lauren B., now the only Lauren left.
We so really he just says Lauren. The Laurens.
Yeah.
Which it's made up for by how he can't choose between the Beccas.
Yes.
Brittany, Becca K., CN, Crystal, Tia, Mikkel, Jenna, Jacqueline, and Marique. So I guess they were getting rid of three women this week, and the only one left to go home now is Bibiana.
Guys, this was just the decimation of the 30-somethings.
Yeah.
It really was.
Three women, 30 and over. I don't think there's any. Are there any women in their 30s left? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Guys, it's only week three. I'm a little disappointed.
You know what they say when someone shows you who they are the first time?
I guess Kelsey or Crystal and Chelsea are both 29.
Yeah, they're a couple.
Not a great showing from the 29-year-olds.
No.
Poor Bibiana was just like
broken.
She says, I'm broken. I want everyone to know that I tried. And I felt so bad for her because it doesn't seem like she's upset about Ari, but just about the way she was treated during
the
production.
They put her through the
ringer. They really did.
Yeah. And she says, you can't force something that's not there. And she leaves. And we can't wait to see her in less than a month. Credits.
More Annalise dog drama.
This is when we find out that she also got attacked by a Siberian husky while she was staying in a friend's house with her mom during her parents' divorce.
And that's why she'd always wear Uggs.
Well, that was her second dog attack. Because the first one was when she was a toddler. This time, the family had to come down and pull the dogs off of them. I mean, like, it just doesn't sound like a good childhood. And she did wear Uggs to take out the trash. Yep. I will say, once I lived in an apartment on the second floor of a house in Queens, and the landlords on the ground floor had, a little terrier, a really little dog. I'm not
just
scared of dogs.
Picturing a reenactment happening right now.
That dog was psychotic. And, would try to attack me every time that I encountered it. But the thing that did happen is when I moved in, my brother and his then girlfriend, now wife, were helping me move. And the dog came flying out and bit my brother on the ankle.
No.
He had to go to the emergency. It was New Year's Day. He was helping me move. And then he had to go to the hospital with a dog bite. So he should have been wearing Uggs. I mean, we would have all been saved a lot of worry about rabies.
Did you get money off your rent?
No. Well, also because I was subletting from the woman upstairs.
Guys, before we completely go off the rails on
what
dog
do you
trauma,
mean?
Can we briefly just talk about this news that Nick Vile is dating January Jones?
I love it.
I love it too.
Good for him.
I mean, yes. I saw
I'm
a lot of tweets that were
him.
Oh my God. And I'm the minute that we saw her on Corden talking about
how. She was basically saying, I will definitely go on a date with you if you ask.
Yeah.
And of course, she did say that.
Yeah.
Good for him. And also, I'm glad to see Nick dating, an older woman.
Yeah.
Just great.
Two tall, slender, beautiful, famous people.
But have we reached the point where Bachelor alums are now mixing with the Hollywood elite?
Wells and Sarah Hyland.
There's
another one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now every dude who goes on The Bachelorette is going to think that they can date a legitimate celebrity.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to go a step. Wells and Nick are both kind of upper level Bachelor celebs
true.
At this point. I would like to see a Bachelor woman date
a celebrity.
Yeah.
Come on.
Just more gender injustice.
Well, they all get married.
Oh, that's true. All the bachelorettes.
All the bachelorettes.
They actually pick someone that they like. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see you on Twitter, Ashley.
I will be there. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool, people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead. So now it's time to get into our feminism fails for the week. And spoiler alert, there were a whole bunch. First, Chris Harrison says, behind every good woman. Sorry. First.
That'd be amazing if he said that.
Chris Harrison says, behind every good man is a strong woman, which not only is not the correct saying, it's also some weird old school benevolent patriarchal bullshit. Don't worry about the fundamental inequalities in the system, ladies. Just find a man and help him shine and you'll be appreciated as his accomplice.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that one a 4. Just a sigh. That's how I feel about it.
Next, Ari says that comforting Tia when she feels weak makes him feel like the man. We get it, dude. You need women to be dependent to feel good about your own puny masculinity. We're going to give that, I think, a 3.5. It's nice that he wants to comfort people, but, like, eesh.
And then Glow happened decades ago. Do we still have to have the tired female stereotypes as wrestling characters like Bridezilla and Gold Digger? I mean, we know that they're playing off of a show that actually existed, so we're going to give that one a 2.5. But, like, get a little more creative, y'all.
Finally, Crystal says that women hate her because they're just insecure and jealous. And men always want to date her. And, like, she can't help it that women are just so insecure. All women, I guess, except for her. We're going to give that a 4 because I guess we found out who the real cool girl is on this season. And I'm not here for it.
And then, of course, we have our bonus race fail. The Glow woman mocks Bibiana's name, asks how it's spelled, and says clearly her mom can't spell. Also, the producers have very transparently set her up to have a spicy Latina freakout. Nice try, guys. She didn't fall for it. But we're going to give that one a grand ol' 5. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Ashley Spivey, and of course, our producer, Nick Offenberg.
If you haven't yet, remember to find Here to Make Friends on Apple Podcasts to subscribe and give us a rating. We're also on Facebook. Please like our page.
And Instagram.
And Instagram. And we're also both individually on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. And of course, you can send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.